हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 38, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 16, Spontaneous Devotional Service, further described. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, along with hearing and chanting, items such as surrendering to the lotus feet of Guru should be understood as favorable. Without those favorable items, how can one accomplish following after the eternal inhabitants of Vrindavan? Because that means devotional activities that are given are the activities that they perform. Right? Then it's put into a structured form for us so that we can understand it and appreciate it and follow it. But all these principles are there. They're all following someone. After considering with intelligence, one should select activities conducive to one's own sentiments for Krishna, and not those activities which are contrary to one's sentiments. Though prescribed in the scriptures, activities of deity worship, such as worshipping Rukmini, meditation of Dwarka, performing mudras and nyasas, or identifying oneself with the Lord and worshipping oneself should be rejected. Footnote 21. Mudras are gestures using hands and fingers. Some are functional, indicating stages of the archon. Some indicate the weapons of the Lord. Some indicate the items offered in worship. Nyasas consists of touching various parts of the body with the fingers while uttering mantras. Both of these items are described in Hari Bhakti Vilas as part of Vaidhi Bhakti Archana. Nyas is also mentioned in the definition of archon given in verse 1 to 137. Right, so these five, they're not favorable for spontaneous devotional service because then they're connected to Dwarka and the specifics of worship in Dwarka. So we see as a general rule, we haven't been given these anyway. You know what I'm saying? So we've been giving the lifestyle, the religious lifestyle of someone who's on that Paramahamsa platform of realization, along with the aspects of Pancharatra to support that. And then if there's need of extension, then Varnashram, as described in the 11th canto, we apply that into our life. But basically, it's centered, it's a Bhagavat-centric process, taking the support of the Pancharatra and the Vedic as needed. Yes?
Especially when we go into the altar in order to be aware of ourselves, that it's much more formal environment. I think these are mentioned mainly for that you're aware.
Yeah, they'll create that awareness. But we also have that because you want to be still aware that even while you're dealing with this, that we're not this body, but we're servant of Krishna. So that'll be the main focus rather than placing the mantras on our body and stuff like that.
Yeah. So we generally focus more on chanting the prayers, like to create that
mood? Yes. Means we have the rituals, but it's just that, let's say, we'll purify the item of worship, but we don't show the mudra of the item that we're going to offer. That's a Vaikuntha thing that they do. So it's explained in Hari Bhakti Vilas, because Hari Bhakti Vilas is basically showing how anybody in any sampradaya can take up pure devotional service. You know, it's specifically ours, so we have our tradition, and then we see what our acharyas give us from that. So that's not used. But mudras and nyasas are used in the worship, in the preliminaries for purifying. But they're not, the nyasas aren't used on ourselves. We'll use them on for the deity. Right? So installing something, we'll use the nyasas, but we don't use the nyasas on ourselves. And mudras we'll use for purifying and worship and that in the preliminaries. But once we start the main worship, then they're basically not used, except for one or two here and there that are indicated.
Also, I think this this is in coordination with the philosophy that ours is simultaneous, one and different, so we don't need to, I mean, go into such detail as, I think the main reason they make nyasas on themselves is because to make oneself that you are also supposed to be on a purified platform.
So yes, yes. It's on a spiritual, purified, means yoga in the five steps of the worship means that you're prepare yourself, the paraphernalia, the situation is all on the same transcendental position as the Lord. Because we'll tend to not see like that. So it is a mechanical process to make sure we're having that. But the main point is that if that devotion is there, then that's already been attained. Then it's just a matter of purity and worship and things like this, following the footsteps, so you're worshipping Guru, then Gauranga, then Radha Krishna. So then there's not a, it doesn't contradict there. So these others are more formal, because it's a formal worship, that you purify the item, and then you worship the who's it'll be offered to. You worship, the paraphernalia, because that's offerable to the Lord and all that. Then you show the mudras. Then you actually pick it up and show it, offer it. So it's very formal. So those aspects aren't there. We're just dropping that down as purified, and then it's offered. Does that make sense? So things like offering it with a particular number of circles and things like that, that's not ritualistic. That's not Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha is way more than that. This is just standard how you do. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's yes, good. So we don't have the need. So those things are dropped. So we ourselves don't even have to worry about it, because we don't even know about them anyway. So, does that make sense? Yeah. The scriptures also say that on the path of bhakti, there's no fault in admitting some of the procedures. Procedures such as meditation on Rukmini. Because if you're already meditating on Radha and Krishna, you don't need to meditate upon Rukmini. You know? Yeah. O King, this is a quote from Bhagavatam. O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with his eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.35. Why? Because the material world is created for the purpose of developing love for Krishna, developing that devotion for Krishna, attraction to Krishna. So if that's what we're already practicing, it's already the purpose of the material world. So what can go wrong? You understand? That's the point. No?
Yes, I think when we study that particular verse in the Bhagavatam, then it is mentioned in the commentary that one eye is jnana and one eye is karma. So just by bhakti itself, we're going. We don't need karma or jnana.
Yes, yes. Yes. So, because that's the eyes of this world. So we don't need the eyes of this world to become perfect. Because otherwise, there's sometimes the idea, oh no, we have to be practical, this, that. But practical for what reason? For karma and jnana, or for pleasing Krishna? So that's the definition. Is we understand bhakti already includes the proper useful knowledge of jnana and the proper useful activities of karma. Right? Then, yeah. My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never suffers even the slightest loss by adopting this process. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.29.20. Because he will always advance. That's the whole purpose of everything in the material world, is to advance in spiritual life. Right? So even if you're making money, it's to advance in spiritual life. Even if you have a family, it's to advance in spiritual life. You have a position or authority, it's to advance in spiritual life. So then, How can there be any loss if you're advancing in spiritual life by these direct activities of devotional service? The benefits of anything else is already obtained. Right? Now, if you're already situated in these areas and you're performing these duties, now you're connecting it to Krishna. So now you're getting benefit all around. Right? So there can be no loss. Verse 1:2, 297-98. The elements of Kamanuga will be described. That Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, which is filled with longing and which follows after the Kama Rupa Ragatnika Bhakti of the Siddha Bhaktas, is called Kamanuga Bhakti. Right? Got all that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, now, what was described before? Right? It was Rag Bhakti in general. Right? So that means, because in Vrindavan, it's all Rag. You know, specifically, it'll be the friendship, parental, and conjugal. So, it means the others, yes, but the focus is on these. That's what makes Vrindavan unique, is these the prominence of these three. So then, bringing these out, then we can say, yes, you have these processes. And so, from there, you can say, yes, from Gopal Guru and Dhyanachandra, and that, you can use all these different things. But now when it goes into this, the Kamanuga, now it gets very specific. You know, our acharya is in this line, how we do it, this is how we do it. Others may do it in other ways, that's fine. You know? Some sense. You know, like in Dwarka it's different, in Vaikuntha it's different, Ayodhya is different, so yeah. So Vrindavan, we have to understand, is basically the largest of all the scenes. Like that. But it's always on this nice, small, little, comfortable village scale. But it's unlimited. Right? Okay. There are two types. Sambhogecha, mayi, and tad-tad, pavechatma. Srila Jiva Goswami. Bhakti that is filled with a thirst for following the wake of the Kama Rupa devotees of Braja is called Kamanuga Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti. Right? Because it means they have a particular rag or attachment, so you're following that, so that's Rag Anuga. Anuga means following the footsteps. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti, so here is how he just simply just, like, we expect more technical. No, he just very simply just says that's what it is. So you see, Srila Prabhupada follows that line. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That bhakti which exhibits an eagerness to follow after Kamarupa bhakti is called Kamanuga. Because previously the word Kamarupa in relation to Siddha bhakti was said to indicate activities inspired by conjugal prema. The word trishta or thirst used in relation to the sadhaka bhakta should also mean actions inspired by same type of praying. Thus, that bhakti which is filled with activities that follows in the footsteps of the gopis' actions, which are inspired by prominent kama or conjugal prema within them, and which is inspired by a similar and prominent love thirst in the sadhaka, is called kamanuga bhakti. There are two types of activity, those in the mind consisting of thoughts and services consisting of actions of the external senses. Right? So as we said before, that the that the consists of the mind means what's on that platform that one has the spiritual body, then through the mind one is using that. Or consisting the actions of the external senses, then in the body you have here, according to what's appropriate, you're engaged in activity. So then in that, which is going to be coming up, is it's important, is that we're seeing is that it's not the specific activity that's being performed, it's the attitude in which it's being performed. Right? So what's the specialness of the Brajabhasis? Is that full surrender to Krishna. Right? That's what's special. So that means we can follow in the footsteps of the Brajabhasis at any stage of our development by trying to engage in devotional activities, you know, in full surrender, with free from karma and jnana. But because we may be in mixed, we understand that. So to get rid of the mixed, you engage it in Krishna's service. That way it gets purified to the point where it can be dropped. Right? Or at least dropped as elements of karma and jnana. Does that make sense? So That's what's there. If we're looking at the external forms, that's the sahajiyas. They just see the external and then say, we're doing that. Yeah. One should not say as follows. Quote, if it is prescribed that the sadhaka must perform activities following after the activities of the young gopis, then why do the pure devotees not perform worship of the sun, which is undertaken by the gopis? If the devotees perform such actions, will it harm the purity of their bhakti? The sadhakas also perform actions such as worship and ekadasi vows, which were performed by Rupa Goswami and other great devotees. But the gopis did not perform these. Right? So then they get bewildered. Right? Because it's being taken on this external form. Oh, we want to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. Gopis did this, so therefore we'll do like this. Right? So then that becomes a bit of a problem. Right? I mean, unless, of course, you're a Shakyamuni, and then you just put on a sari and hari ball. The word anugamini means following after, not imitating. Prabhupada makes this point very much. One should follow after them in the sense of accepting the gopi's sentiments. It does not mean one should do everything they do. Similarly, taking support of the Vedanta, if one gives explanations with logic, with one's additional input, it is called following the Vedanta. As previously, the options of the recent Sarayamya Sampradaya are again defeated. Right? So the Sarayamya will be from the sun. So they'll do all these things that the gopis do. So they'll worship the sun. So this is, they'll make that point. And at the same time, as the gopis don't, we don't see them, you know, performing all the technical worship and the codicy, so we don't need to follow that. You know, so you end up with this total mishmash. Right?
Imitation.
So now I think that there is always importance to develop the right attitude.
Yes.
And always following our own acharya.
Yes. Yes. Very, very important. And you see in here how to maintain that, one of that aspect is that point of that humility or that pridelessness. Because to say, oh, I'm so advanced now I can do all the activities of the gopis, that means that they take some pride. And so that can be avoided by, you know, so no, but we're advancing, so I should be doing more advanced stuff. But what's advancing is our consciousness, our attitude. The activity will look the same. It doesn't have to change. Yes.
Also, I think before it's mentioned here in Bhaktivinoda Samrita Sunday itself, all the rules are followed according to one stage in devotional service.
Yes.
One should not follow the rules, external rules,
or above or below. Yes. Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives that. It's just like steps. You go up a step, means you're on one step. You have both feet there, so you're solid on that step. Then you take one foot and place it on the next step. And then when you're in the proper balance, then you have to lift up the one that's on the lower step. Right? Like this. And then you keep going. Does that make sense? Hence, in the marriage rite, then one of the vows is, don't let the left foot go in front of the right. Because the right means what the proper, you know, proper. Then you bring the left. Right? So that's then how the process works. Now, if you move up and you're not, yeah, and you say I'm on that, but you're not balanced, you'll fall back down. And if you come up to that, but you don't pick up the foot, then you'll remain on that lower level. You can say no, I have one foot, but the point is no, you're on the step that your lowest foot's on, right? Only when you pick it up, then maybe it's not on the step, and now you're counted that you're on that next step because you've left that lower step. So if we're, let's say, attached to something like that, then we engage that in Krishna service. And then at some point when that's not necessary anymore, then it's given up. It's not so important anymore. So that way one progresses. So this is very important that these are things we're hearing about the steps. So it's just like we're going up a set of stairs. Then the Nectar of Devotion is talking about all the stairs. But we should be able to identify which stair we're on and then practice according to that step. You know, seeing that we're not doing anything from previously and we're, you know, endeavoring towards bringing ourselves to the point of the next step. And that way then it naturally moves through. So as we have attachments, we engage them, but as we give up those attachments, we move forward. We don't keep them. So 1.2.2.99. Sambhogecha, Mayi Bhakti, is characterized by enjoying conjugally with Krishna. Tad Bhave Chatmika Bhakti is characterized by desiring the sweet mood of love of the Kamanuga Rupa Siddha devotees. Srila Prabhupada. Conjugal love. Devotional service following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan or the queens at Dwarka is called devotional service and conjugal love. This devotional service and conjugal love can be divided into two categories. One is indirect conjugal love and the other direct. In both of these categories, one has to follow the particular gopi who's engaged in such service in Goloka Vrindavan. To be directly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in conjugal love is technically called keli. This keli performance means to directly join with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are other devotees who do not wish direct contact with the Supreme Person, but who relish the conjugal love affairs of the Lord with the gopis. Such devotees enjoy simply by hearing of the activities of the Lord with the gopis. This development of conjugal love can be possible only with those who are already engaged in following the regular principles of devotional service, specifically in the worship of Radha and Krishna in the temple, right? So unless one is situated in sadhana bhakti, one can't move in these directions. So this idea that raganuga means giving up the sadhana, that doesn't make sense. Right? Does that make sense? It's such like saying, okay, to start at the beginning stages of driving, I have to actually go to the car, open the door, get in the car, sit down in the car, you know, check the mirrors, check the lights, you know, check, you know, everything like that, and, you know, that it's all working, put on my seatbelt, you know, like that, look around, you know, is there a car in front of me, on the sides, behind, you know, all these kind of things I have to do, right? So, therefore, if I'm advanced in devotional service, I don't have to do any of that. Does that make any sense? No, now I'm becoming aware of actually driving in the road. Now I'm using all those things. I'm using the mirror, I'm using the pedals, I'm using all these different things. So that's the difficulty. It's thought that, no, I'm more advanced, so I don't have to do any of those things. But it won't work very good in anything that way. Because there has to be a form. Right? Because otherwise then what we're doing is we're falling for, we're taking it, the one is, you know, what is it? Not ephemeral.
Empirical.
And then the more advanced is
apparent.
So we all know where we got this philosophy from. That's coming up from the gyan side, right? Because gyan's always more advanced than karma. Right? So therefore then, we're thinking, I'm advancing, therefore I give up the empirical and move to the apparent. Ephemeral is also apparent? But that's what is ephemeral. Yeah, it's the same. So empirical and ephemeral. Yeah. Does that make sense? It's not what we want to hear. Definitely. But it's a reality. Like that. Yeah?
I was thinking also from karma side is that the concept people have is that when I become the boss, I don't have to deal with all that, you know, secretaries and, you know, clerk, they do that, but I'm the boss, so I don't have to deal with fighting.
Yes, yeah.
So it's also contamination by karma.
Yes, yeah, also contamination by karma, but it's also bad karma. Because the boss, he knows exactly what's going on, but he knows all of that, and you can't do all of that at once. Therefore, the secretaries and servants do all that, but he's fully aware. So in the contemporary idea is that I move up, and I deal nothing with that, and know nothing, and somehow or another I'm in charge. So we're a bit like that, what do you call it? That last emperor of China. He knew nothing what was going on in the kingdom. And the prime minister was running the whole kingdom. He was actually in charge. But he let the kid think that, you know, he's the emperor. But he knew absolutely nothing. And then one day, then just the prime minister took over and the emperor was, he literally out on the street. They didn't even retire him to some nice little house or something like that in the countryside, you know, with some servants and all that, you know, some kind of, you know, the like that. No, they just tossed him out, you know, and he's on the street. You know. So yes, it is a contamination of karma, but you see it's that I'm the controller and enjoyer. That comes up. So then with that contamination, then that will pollute devotional service. While we see in the proper is that, yes, I may move up and I'm doing more things, but I'm still aware of everything that I'm doing because it's all for Krishna, so I have to know. It's not about me controlling and enjoying. Like that. So, yes.
You take that to a dwarfa and Vrindavan, then the queen and the gopis, they, on top floor, give everything for Krishna?
Yes, they give everything, but we see that the gopis, it's more. Because the queens, being married to Krishna, then it's in their rasa, it's 50-50. Some things they do for Krishna, something Krishna does for them. And that's just the way the marriage life works. But for the gopis, it's 100% about pleasing Krishna. And because it's 100% about pleasing Krishna, Krishna is 100% about pleasing them. That's what's not understood. Such devotees gradually develop a spontaneous love for the deity, and by hearing of the Lord's exchange of loving affairs with the gopis, they gradually become attracted to these pastimes. After this spontaneous attraction becomes highly developed, the devotee is placed in either of the above-mentioned categories. Okay, so Prabhupada is mentioning how in our life, in our environment, how it works. You're engaged in worship of Radha and Krishna in the temple, and then you're hearing about these pastimes, and so then when that spontaneous mood that I really like worshiping the deities and like serving, then hearing these pastimes, then we want to be involved in those. Then it says, then you come under either of these two categories.
Okay? Also, we observed that Prabhupada gave a schedule for the whole day. Like the first quality of the Bhava Bhakta is he doesn't avoid the kala from, he doesn't waste.
He doesn't waste time. Yeah.
So he already gave us every moment, how you can do so many activities. Actually, that is what gives you entrance.
Yes. Yeah, Prabhupada has given us the lifestyle of someone on the platform, of Baba on the liberated. But we don't have the realization. But the activities are there, so therefore the activities don't change. See, so because we're used to also the aspect of karma. So karma, as it develops, it gets more technical. And so therefore we think that it all has to be more technical. It's not understood that, no, we've already been given the highest platform of this. And then, as needed, we include the technical. He's mentioned where we need technical. He's mentioned where to get it from, and so you apply it. But it should be on that basis of this mood and attitude. Srila Jiva Goswami, Sambhogecha Mayi means following those who are kama prayas. Footnote 22. This use of the word kama praya is different from its use in describing Kubja, who had a predominance of material kama. Right. So it means you have these three levels there. Kubja, then, or the Mahishis of Mathura, then you're having the aspect of that they're interested in their happiness that comes from being with Krishna. Right? So it's in contact, it's about Krishna, it's fully about Krishna, they're fully Krishna conscious, but it's about the happiness they'll gain by being in that association. Right? Then we see the queens at Dwarka are higher than that. And then it's about this aspect of it's 50-50. It's about their pleasure, but it's about Krishna's pleasure, but it's also about their pleasure. But gopis, then they're the highest because it's just about Krishna's pleasure. Right? So the external forms of conjugal relation will be the same. Right? The mechanics of it's the same. It's not different. It's just a matter of the attitude, whether it's about yourself or whether it's about there. So Kubja is then the lowest, but it's about Krishna. While here in the material world, it's about ourselves, and it's not about Krishna. So that just drops it out of the transcendental. It says, so here, when they're saying about this kama praya, it's not meaning like Kubja and that. It's meaning that it's about that interaction with Krishna. Right? That's what's the pleasure.
Also, these three levels, it's because of a certain attitude, they cannot, like Krishna cannot be with them always, Because if it is for the person himself, it's not for Krishna, then he cannot be with them all. Like for Vrajavasis, he can be with them
all the time. Yeah.
So that's why the taste is more because of the...
Yes, because no, it's just more, because then it's like Krishna, does he have a problem with focus? He is focus. Right? So that if he's dealing in a relationship, he's fully focused on that relationship. So then, to that degree that you're focused, then he can reciprocate. So if there's 100% surrender, then he can also act in that capacity. Right? Mother Jashoda, because of her total affection for Krishna, therefore Krishna can be completely surrendered as a small child and be running around and while she's chasing him with a stick. Right? Otherwise, others don't have that kind of surrender, so they can't do that. So he can't enjoy to that intensity, to that degree. So that's the whole thing, is that we're trying... The Braja Bhakti means that it's taken to that level. That's why it's unique. That's the specialness. It's an attitude. It's not what's being done. That's the mistake, because we're used to seeing the secondary. So we base everything, advancement, on the secondary. When it's not, it's based on the primary, on how much we're advancing in It's About Krishna.
Yeah. This is what Lord Chaitanya has given, never ever given narrative.
Yes. Okay. Sambhogecha Mayi means following those who are kama prayas, having a prominence of desire, giving direct conjugal enjoyment to Krishna. Right? So that's the meaning of the praya here, that they're giving direct conjugal enjoyment. Tad bhave chatmika means that type of bhakti whose very life, atma, is the desire for the particular rati of a cherished woman of raja. Right? So one is about directly giving the conjugal enjoyment. The other is about having that attitude of pleasing Krishna, but not being the direct one involved. This should be understood to be the main type of Kamanuga Bhakti. This is illustrated in the Bhagavatam. The women of Braja were attracted to the arms of Krishna, resembling the Lord of the serpents, and attained the nectar of his lotus feet. We Shrutis, also with similar mood, attaining similar bodies, attained his feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-23. Sambhog means conjugal enjoyment. Kali means the same thing. Sambhog Echamayi has the aim of conjugal enjoyment with Krishna. Kali tat paraya vati. Tad tad bhava ichatmika bhakti has a desire for the sweetness of the Lord of the women of Braja. Tasam bhava madhurya kamita. Right? Does that make sense? So one's for the activities in pleasing Krishna in that way, and one is for the attitude of pleasing Krishna in that way. Yes. The Brahmin ladies, I'm not sure what it's. You'd have to see what the. Do anyone remembers what the acharyas said? Because they came out and gave up everything. But
it's the same like in Mathura.
In Mathura, same like in Mathura. Yes, you can give up everything, but it's still about the happiness they'll gain from doing that. See, that's how you can tell. Sometimes you see about, oh yes, it'll be so nice, we'll be there with Krishna, and we'll be doing this and that. But it's about what we're going to gain from it. So that's how you, I mean, one of the things, you just, somebody talks, you can tell what level they're being at. They're talking about seemingly advanced devotional service. Yeah, it may be advanced, but it's not as advanced as what we're trying to get to. Because then, the problem is then we're seeing the, how do you say, that how nice it would be to be there in that pastime with Krishna. But that's about what we'll get. But it's about how nice it would be to be able to please Krishna in that way. That's what we're trying to get to. And then, here it's mentioning those who are directly performing the activity and those who are in having that same mood and supporting that activity. Right? So that's the... what goes on. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Sambhogecha Mayi means bhakti consisting of the two types of activities, mental and physical. Inspired by the desire for a direct experience of giving conjugal enjoyment to Krishna independently, like a leader of a group of gopis. An example of a leader of a group, according to scriptures, is Chandravali. Tad tad bhave chatmika means bhakti whose inspiration, atma, is the desire to taste the special bhava in relation to Krishna possessed by a particular woman of braja, whom one holds dear. This should be understood to be superior to the previous type. It is the chief type of Kamanuga bhakti, right? Before he mentioned, that's the chief type. Right? In this verse, Samboga means conjugal yugan, and Kali means the same thing. Action whose goal is Kali with Krishna is called Sambhogecha Mayi Kamanuga Bhakti. That bhakti which has the desire to taste the sweetness of the gopi's love in relation to Krishna is called Tad Tad Bhave Chatmika Bhakti. Right? 1, 2, 300. Yeah. Those who develop longing, and I think it's, and it'll go through Raganuga, right? Because that's all sadhana. Because chapter 2 is sadhana bhakti. Like that. Yeah. But I'm saying then, but then. Chapter 3 in part 1, that will be then, I think, Bhava Bhakti. And then chapter 4 will be Prema Bhakti. So this is the biggest chapter, sadhana. Those who develop longing for the Bhava of the gopis after seeing the sweetness in the deity of Krishna and the gopis, or after hearing about his pastimes with the gopis, are qualified for sadhana of either types of Kamanuga Bhakti. In the Padma Purana, it is said that even men can attain this bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. This development of conjugal love for Krishna is not manifested in women only. The material body has nothing to do with spiritual loving affairs. A woman may develop an attitude for becoming a friend of Krishna, and similarly a man may develop the feature of becoming a gopi in Vrindavan. How a devotee in the form of a man can desire to become a gopi is stated in the Padma Purana as follows. In days gone by, there were many sages in Dandakaranya. Dandakaranya is the name of the forest where Lord Ramachandra lived after being banished by his father for 14 years. At that time, there were many advanced sages who were captivated by the beauty of Lord Ramachandra and who desired to become women in order to embrace the Lord. Later on, these sages appeared in Gokula Vrindavan when Krishna advented himself there, and they were born as gopis or girlfriends of Krishna. In this way, they attained the perfection of spiritual life. Right, so the point is it doesn't matter. It's about the attitude. That's why, again, you have to, these things are done by meditation, because you have to use that body, not this body. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Devotees should see the particular sweetness of pastimes through the deity forms of Krishna and his consorts, gopis, or hear about the sweetness of their love and pastimes. Right? So worshipping the deity and seeing how nicely then they all interact with the devotees, hearing about the pastimes, like this. Previously in verse 294, only hearing and remembering after hearing was mentioned. The intention is to show that, in the act of seeing, the assistance of hearing is also necessary. Without hearing, there will be no manifestation of the basic forms and pastimes. Hearing about Krishna and the gopis, even without seeing, is also effective. Right? But just seeing without hearing, you won't actually have some context and what to appreciate it. These persons developing longing for the bhava of the gopis, and thus become qualified, sadhanata, for these two types of sadhana, ananyoho. So is that it is coming from, you see, it's from the practice of sadhana bhakti and the deity worship, that one becomes qualified to come to this platform. It's not something else, right? All the acharyas, Jiva Goswami is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada is mentioned, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is mentioned, Srila Jiva Goswami has mentioned. They've all said that this is the process. So it's not a separate process of just sitting down and just hearing about the gopis. Right? If you're worshipping the deity and hearing, that will bring about Right? Then having gotten to that stage, even if you're not always worshipping the deities, but hearing, it'll continue. But it's through this process that will get you there. Does that make sense? Yeah? 1, 2, 3, or 1 through 2. Examples of male becoming gopis are as follows. Previously, all the sages living in Dandakaranya forest, who after seeing Lord Rama, desired enjoyment with his form, attained forms of women and appeared in Gokula. Attaining the Lord by that kama, they became liberated from the ocean of the material world. Srila Prabhupada. The story of the sages of Dandakaranya can be explained as follows. When Lord Ramachandra was residing in Dandakaranya, the sages who were engaged in devotional service there became attracted by his beauty and immediately thought about the gopis at Vrindavan, who enjoyed conjugal loving affection with Krishna. In this instance, it is clear that the sages of Dandakaranya desired conjugal love in the manner of the gopis. Although they were well aware of the Supreme Lord as both Krishna and Lord Ramachandra, they knew that although Ramachandra was an ideal king and could not accept more than one wife, Lord Krishna, being the full-fledged personality of Godhead, could fulfill the desires of all of them in Vrindavan. These sages also concluded that the form of Krishna is more attractive than that of Lord Ramachandra, and so they prayed to become gopis in the future lives to be associated with Krishna. Lord Ramachandra remained silent, and his silence shows that he accepted the prayers of the sages. Thus they were blessed by Lord Ramachandra to have association with Lord Krishna in their future lives. As a result of this benediction, they all took birth as women in the wombs of gopis at Gokula. And as they had desired in the previous lives, they enjoyed the company of Lord Krishna, who was present at that time in Gokula Vrindavan. The perfection of their human form of life was thus achieved by their generating a transcendental sentiment to share conjugal love with Lord Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. The sages refer to all those sages who had desires following the gopis of Krishna in Gokula. Seeing Rama, they desired to enjoy with him when he would appear in the future in the beautiful form of Krishna. They thus asked for the boon in their minds. Krishna's future appearance was well known to the learned from the scriptures. After obtaining a silent boon from Rama, who acts like a desire tree, they attained bodies of women in the womb of gopis in a different region. They were then born from these gopis, who then moved to Nanda Gokul, famous everywhere as Gokula. Due to their kama alone, they attained the Lord in the form of attractive Krishna, and later attained liberation from the material ocean. These gopis, sadhana siddhas, are indicated in the following verse, right? Because you have the different sadhana siddhas, kripa siddhas, archan siddhas, like that. So, yeah. So we're given sadhana, we're given archan, and we're also told how to depend on the mercy of the Lord, right? Because it's one of the aspects of surrender. So we're given all three. So at least, hopefully, one of them at least is working, right? The point is they're attracted by that aspect. Krishna's beauty is that. And as Ramachandra, then they can't become his wife there. And so then they think of Krishna. But then the most attractive feature, because we say is Krishna in that form. So Krishna and Dwarka is not necessarily, it'll be a touch more beautiful than Ramachandra because of that extended aspects of pastime. But Krishna and Braj will be even more than that, because we can see as the Dwarkavasis, when they have that one pastime with Krishna, they make Nava Vrindavan and then take Krishna there because he's absorbed in thinking about the Brajvasis. So Vishwakarma creates the place and puts all deities of his associates there. And so then Krishna's there and talking with them and moving around and everything, and they become attracted by how beautiful he is. So since they're attracted, then they're just by nature attracted by Krishna's position in Braj. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay, this is indicated in the following verse. Some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses, and instead they remained at home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love. Footnote, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.9, footnote 23. These gopis, meditating in separation, became completely purified and attained full spiritual bodies. With these bodies, they attained Krishna's association in the Rasa Lila, right? So we see here, because it mentions there, due to their karma alone, they attained the Lord in the form of attractive Krishna, and later attained liberation from the material ocean. Because you're thinking, no, but you'd need to have been liberated to be on that platform. But the point is that complete liberation. Like, because when you're talking about, you're liberated, so being in the Tathasta position is liberated. But what does Madhvacharya say is true liberation or real liberation? That's being connected to Krishna in a relationship. Right? So, yes, one's liberated when one's on the Tathasta position. But one's actually liberated when one comes to actually realizing that full relationship with Krishna. So then here we see the difference between the Siddha Deha and the Sarup Siddhi. Right? There's a difference. The Siddha Deha then means they have the form of gopis in Vrindavan and they're attracted to Krishna. But because they're not completely purified, there's still some traces of fragrance of the material element, right? That aspect of enjoying or whatever it may be. Therefore, then they can't actually go and take part in the pastime. But by meditation, that full surrender to Krishna, that absorption, it burns up all of their good and bad karma. We have to understand, generally we pray for the bad karma to go away. It's also the good has to go away. Right? Because what is the bad karma means we have an inclination to enjoy in a sinful way. Good karma means we have the tendency to enjoy in a pious way. They both have to go. Does that make sense? Yeah. So one has to be aware of that. So, then, in this, now, by meditating, they've removed all whatever impediments are there in this subtle platform. And then they become qualified so that then they can go and take part in their rasa dance. So what have they done? They were there in Smarana Dasa, right? So they're always absorbed in Krishna to some whatever degree, but not to that complete attraction and attachment. So then by this being stopped, they can't go. Then they through that meditation, they come to the point of that samadhi. They're completely absorbed in Krishna. That then gives them the qualification. Now they can move on to apandasa, which apandasa means they can take part in the pastimes. That's surup siddhi. Does that make sense? And then, when it comes to the point of prema, that's vastu siddhi. So even within bhava, we have these levels. The Siddha Deha, Sarup Siddhi, and Vastu Siddhi. So it has to go through these. That's the whole thing of the Sahajis, they just mix it all up and you're just there in Krishna's pastimes and that's very unscientific. Because what's your attitude? You're there to enjoy yourself. Right? So why would you be in Braj? You should be in Mathura at best. But because you still have so much material desire, we're not talking about subtleties of just what's left. That I'm an advanced devotee or I'm a guru of devotees. You don't have these subtleties. It's just material desire. You belong in the material world. Yes?
Also, elsewhere, Rupa Goswami, he mentions that without attaining Prem Rup, the Kama Rup doesn't have any meaning.
Yes. So that's why you have to follow in the footsteps. And of this, following the footsteps means following the footsteps of those who have this attitude. That's why he says that's the prominent of the two, kama. What is it? Kama Rupa, Kama Nuga. Like that. Yeah, so one is following in the footsteps of those who have that mood to also, have that mood and activities to have that mood and activities. The other is to have the mood, not the activities. Yes. The Brahmins, yes, they're attached to pious activities and all that, so they're there because Tathasta Shakti means the material and spiritual is in the same place at the same time. So you can have both going on at once. You can have gross materialists and eternal associates all in the same place at the same time. That's the potency of the Tathasta Shakti. Okay? Does that make sense? So as Yoga Maya, she's controlling the eternal associates, and Mahamaya, she's controlling the materialists. So they can both be there at once. Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. These gopis became freed from the material ocean. That means they became freed from the material portions of their bodies. Right? So even they're dealing with the siddha deha, still, there is still that material aspect that is there. Because what are we dealing with? Maya is one entity, but it has the feature of Mahamaya and Yogamaya. So as one leaves, the other's there. Why is it that we have a piece of brass and it's sitting in the shop? Right? It's just a piece of brass. We take it home and then clean it up and start using it for artik for the deities. Now it's spiritualized. It takes on that aspect. But if, you know, someone else comes along, a devata worshiper buys it, takes it home, it just stays a piece of brass. Right? Maybe a purified piece of brass, but a piece of brass nonetheless. Okay? So this whole thing of that, it's like this, it's a transformation of the energy. Because that's the thing, is we say it has to be this or that. But then the point is no, it's a transformation. The internal is transforming, becoming the external. The jiva can take shelter in either, so its consciousness can either go to the one or can go to the other. Okay. Does that make sense? Just like here, we are inspired by different people. Like you generally see, you can take anybody who's expert in a particular field or very famous in a field, and you can ask them, who's your inspiration? And they will talk about people that went before them in the field. Right? So they're following them. So the point is, in spiritual, we're following those in the spiritual world. That's the nature of the jiva. At that time of the rasa dance, because mundane simply means not seen in connection with Krishna. That's all. That's the meaning. That's what it means. So that aspect is removed. Right? At the time of the rasa dance, when they were locked in their houses, they burnt up the material portion of the bodies by the separation from Krishna caused by their being locked up. The particular explanation of this can be seen in the commentary of Vishwanath on the 10th canto. This is a result which accompanies bhakti. Right? So he explains that. We also see as later is that Prabhupada's talking about that it means for the pastime is parakya, so that's why we don't talk about it. But for those who are worried about the technical points, then the material bodies of the gopis are lying in bed with their husbands. And in the spiritual bodies, they're out with Krishna. But the point is that material, that's being arranged by Yoga Maya. They're only aware of the spiritual. So the other is there just for the pastime. That's why it's here in Gokul, they have this. But in Goloka, they don't have husbands. They have them here, so that's enough. It's just so it's there in the mentality. That's all you have to have. And because for them both places are identical, then it's not that it's a problem. So they have husbands, though it's just here. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's Yoga Maya's arrangement. How she arranges this, that's her bit. It's not our problem. We're not Yoga Maya. We're not on that level. So we don't worry about it. So if she arranges it by having their material bodies then with their husbands, and that's how she's arranged it, what's the problem? But because they're not making that full distinction at that point when Krishna calls them the rasa dance, they can't go with the material body. They have to only go with the spiritual. So those aspects that are material, that's what that stops them. You understand? So then in meditation, that's given up. And so then they leave. So as far as the individual goes, they've left. The other stuff, that's Yoga Maya's arrangement. It's not our business. Right? So we don't... You understand? Yeah. Because it's not about the external.
These gopis have a strong desire to be a pure devotee of Krishna.
Yes, yes. They want to serve and all that, but the point is there'll be something left, because that's why you have Gokul, is to remove everything. So it's completely... it's qualified for the platform of prema. That's why you have Gokul. Right? So, everyone will go through Gokul to come to come to Goloka. No one goes direct. Right? If you see that somebody from this body directly goes, that means in meditation they went through the whole thing and came to the platform of prema. And then here we'll say they left their body. Right? But we see here they're leaving that any material fragrances that are there and coming just to that pure spiritual platform. Okay. So. Yeah, when you get up here, then it's like... yeah. 1-2-303. A person who serves on the path of Vaidhi Bhakti with a desire for conjugal relationship with the Lord and a high position, but without desire for the gopis type of love, after some time becomes a queen in Dwarka. Okay? So in other words, they have the interest, they're following Vaidhi, they want a conjugal relationship, and they want to be advanced in this position, they'll become queens in Dwarka. Okay? So it's the same thing, but it's not specific the gopis type of love. It's just generic conjugal love. So then they'll go to Dwarka. Srila Prabhupada. Conjugal love is divided into two classifications. Namely, conjugal love as husband and wife, and conjugal love as lover and beloved. One who develops conjugal love for Krishna as a wife is promoted to Dwarka, where the devotee becomes the queen of the Lord. One who develops conjugal love for Krishna as a lover is promoted to Goloka Vrindavan, to associate with the gopis and enjoy loving affairs with Krishna there. We should note carefully, however, that this conjugal love for Krishna, either as gopi or queen, is not limited only to women. Even men can develop such sentiments, as was evidenced by the sages of Dandakaranya. If someone simply desires conjugal love but does not follow in the footsteps of the gopis, he is promoted to the association with the Lord at Dwarka. Right, so in there it's more generic, so then it goes to Dwarka. There's more specific with that surrender, then it is Vrindavan. Right? And as said before, the two kinds of direct association and that of support of those who have the direct, that's in both also. Right? So if you have that kind of thing and following that mood, but it's still generic, it's not following after the gopis, then one will be an assistant to the queens. Right? Like you hear in Rukmini's palace, there's thousands of maidservants. So they're the same thing.
When the translation speaks of high position, he wants a high position. What is that?
High position. Queen's not a high enough position?
The person who's doing
like should say what? Like Lady Gaga or... You know. I mean, what's it supposed to say for high position? Aishwarya Rai, Rani, right? No? So, just means the high position, means advanced in that position. Okay? We'll stop there because the other ones aren't as high. Okay. If it's very quick.
Krishna and the devotees, like Jiva,
The 16,108, those are all his associates. And then, but it's not that Dwarka is not on, it's unlimited, so there'll be more. You know, just like in Vrindavan, you have 16,108, they're already there. But there's millions, so you can, if you want to add on there and that, you can add on. It's not a problem. Goloka is very big, and it's getting bigger every moment. So there's plenty of space, don't worry. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.